She reduces, reuses, and recycles. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, and we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to, and I promise you once again, we will give you lots to think about today. I am very happy, very relaxed, and very excited to have as my guest in studio, Paul Bonavia, who is the chairman and CEO of Unisource Energy, also known by many of us in the Southwest as Tucson Electric Power Company. That's our arm of it. So, Paul, welcome. So great to have you with me again.
Thanks so much. This is exciting. I know, love your new format.
It's so much fun. We went on a trip down memory lane a bit ago because Paul, I think, was one of my first guests when I first launched on KNST. And it's great to see progress for us in 5 years. It's been an amazing journey. I also want to mention that the show today is sponsored by Tucson Electric Power Company, and everyone on the Mrs. Green team is most appreciative of that support. I'm going to do a few short radio announcements, and then it's on with the show. Okay, Mrs. Green's World is a proud member of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, where my show can be heard every Monday and Tuesday at dreamvision7radio.com. And starting this week, we are very excited to announce that our show is being syndicated in the Castle Rock, Colorado area and can be heard twice weekly at castlerockradio.com. Please check them out. Also, we are so excited about our expansion. Like to remind you that we're here live every Saturday at noon Arizona time, which will change in a couple of weeks. We don't change, but the rest of the world does. I'm here at MrsGreensWorld.com, and I invite you to join us. You can listen to our show on your iPhone or Droid. All of our podcasts from the show live on my website, MrsGreensWorld.com. And don't forget to connect with me on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram, and who knows what next. And if you have questions, please contact us, info@MrsGreensWorld.com. So, Paul, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Get through that. And I do have to do one more quick announcement that I almost forgot because I'm so excited you're here. One of our national sponsors is Ecobella. And I have said this many times on the show before, but if your skincare and the products that you're putting on your body have warning labels that warn you if swallowed or have a long list of ingredients that might be harmful to you, check them out, read a little bit more, do a little bit more research. You can go to the Environmental Working Group's website to see what's good and what's not. But Ecobella with two C's is a company you'll want to investigate. Their products are safe, they're sustainably sourced, and they're doing great things for the planet and for abused and neglected animals. We are very proud of our sponsorship with them. And I always say this, supporting companies like Ecobella through your purchases is one great green thing for you to consider. Visit their website, Ecobella, and I say with two C's, .com. And if you like what you see and decide you want to order, enter the code Mrs. Green and get 10% off your purchase. There's no downside to that. So here we go, on with the show. Paul, I think the best thing to talk about is we're going to talk about very specific things in terms of renewable energy and your leadership and awards and your partnership with the Girl Scouts. But I think it would be great to give our local and national audience somewhat of an overview of the magnitude and scope of what you do and who your customers are, not just the customers that use electricity. You have a board that you have to answer to. So you've got a big job.
Oh, yeah. We're a utility company, of course, and that's an interesting animal because
especially
we are.
These days.
Yeah, it is. We're a real company. We are privately owned by stockholders. You can buy our stock. We're listed on the New York Stock Exchange. So we have all of the aspects of being a corporation in the private sector. But we're a public utility, and we have special responsibilities that go with that. And it really means probably as much as any business I can think of that what's good for our community is good for us. And we're only as strong as the community around us. And that means we have to pay special attention to things like our environment, but also like jobs, like what we can do to be part of a healthy economy. for our citizens. And yes, I've got a board of directors that that are charged with looking over the affairs of the company. And, you know, we get a lot of help in our business from all sorts of directions. We are probably the most regulated industry I can think of. All of our pricing and business terms that we deal with our customers on are set by the State Corporation Commission, Arizona Corporation Commission, and then all of the other acronyms you can think of. Somebody
are watching.
They're all watching. So we operate in that world, and that I think it's the most interesting business. I really wanted to be part of this business before I actually got into it, because we were part of the making and implementing of public policy, where we have to be responsive to our customers. Customers often speak to us through their elected representatives. We have to be responsible there and listen and pay attention. And sometimes we have to be the ones who will get accused of dragging our feet for this, but sometimes the political process gets ahead of reality. And sometimes we're on the other side where we're saying slow down. Sometimes we're saying speed up. There's more we can do. Take off the shackles. Sometimes we're saying this is crazy. It doesn't make economic sense. It will fail. But we feel that when you're a public utility, you have some responsibility to speak up.
There is never a dull moment. And I don't say that. That sounds very cliche, but what is, it's constantly exploding in your world. And factoring in the Corporation Commission always makes things interesting. So we can go to, I think that people really want to know, there's the reality that you said on my show, and I never forgot it, that the primary source for energy, which I want to have in my home when it's 107, I want my air conditioner to work, I want my lights to go on, I want hot water, I want cold water, is coal. So that's the reality. What TEP does, and what I think the view in this community and nationally is, constantly looking to make a dent in the area of renewable energy. And I think that that is not just my opinion. It's absolutely well-documented, well-celebrated, and well-recognized in terms of national leadership. So talk about some of the solar projects. Let's focus in on that, because I actually went on the solar bus tour. Mrs. Green goes on the bus. It was unbelievable, even for me. It was last November. I'm like, you've got to be kidding. How did I not know the vast array of solar and the things that you're involved in?
The bus tour, by the way, is great.
It is great. I had a blast. And I'm thinking, 5 hours on the bus? They almost had to, like, remove me from DM. Yeah, it's like in the solar tech park.
It's a lot of stuff. And it's fun to take, you know, community leaders or politicians especially, because some of them
don't
are very skeptical.
Clue. Yeah.
And you remember the line from, remember when Tom Sawyer did the whitewashing? And the line was, they came to scoff and they stayed to paint.
Yes, yes.
You know, we get scoffers on the bus, but usually by the time they get off,
it's a big
they've
wow.
seen something real.
Quite impressive.
And it's loads of fun. And it's, I mean, we're proud to be part of it, but there's a lot of organizations and people that make it all go. The university as much as anybody. We are blessed to have the University of Arizona.
We went to see Roger Angels.
Isn't he fantastic?
Oh, he is fantastic. He's going to be a guest on the show in a couple of months. I mean, I can't believe it's like I got Roger Angel.
Yep.
But he is, talk about a thought leader. Let's hope Roger Angel's projects go global.
Yeah, a world-renowned scientist who brought his optical mastery, global mastery of the science to bear on the specific problem of how can we create a technology that's highly efficient to convert the energy of the sun into electricity.
That's already there.
And, you know, I was just out to see his creations, and, you know, he's getting ready to move to the University Tech Park, and we talked about that. Brilliant guy, a jewel, but so many parts of the university are great. And, you know, I love renewable energy. You know, as we've talked about in other shows, my own background as an individual before I came here was mostly working with wind power.
Wind, yes.
And I think that's a marvelous technology. I think those machines just keep getting better, more efficient. They're finding ways to solve problems. And you can create a lot of renewable energy with wind turbines. They're big
scale. And
there's
been a lot of wind these days.
Yep.
And,
yeah, right. There's plenty
of that. It'll keep on coming.
But they work. When I came to Arizona, I realized it's not going to be about wind power here. This is about solar.
This is where the sun shines.
We've got the sun, and so now let's go to work and see what we can do with that. And I remember we talked, I'm sure, on your show way back when I first got here, and I said, there's a couple of different ways you can do this. One is the enormous projects. I always think of them as cathedrals in the desert, these huge multi-billion dollar facilities somewhere out in a remote area, which, you know, there are advantages to that,
right.
to that approach. There's some real economies of scale, and they can take technology and scale it up and do a fine thing. We went the other way. Our approach has been to say, let's have the investment be made right inside our community where our people are, and let's do it in what we call bite-sized bits, at least I do.
Right.
And the reason I like that is there's several pieces of it. One is we're not such a big company, so we don't want to have all of our eggs in some multi-billion dollar project. If it doesn't go well, we're in a lot of trouble. That winds up being trouble for our customers and our community as well. If we do them 25 megawatts, which is a pretty good size solar facility, but if we do 25, 30 megawatt bites, then we never have all of our eggs in the basket of one developer or one technology
or one site.
If you run into problems, you can live with it. You can work with it.
That's very entrepreneurial also. You don't want to have one client when you have a business.
Right.
So there's that entrepreneurial spirit that I believe successful companies, even a public utility, you've got to have that. If you do that, you're in a lot of trouble. You're going under and we're all sorry. So it's a very entrepreneurial way to look at it from where I sit.
Yep. Well, thank you. It has to work.
It has to work.
And we can use multiple technologies, multiple vendors, multiple sites. And we also have the advantage that the curve we've been on the last couple of years is costs coming down. Well, if you swing for the fences and do the one big project, you might take yourself out of the market for a while.
Right.
And you lose the benefit of the technological advancements. So we think we're in the right spot as far as implementing a renewable strategy built around solar. We've actually, by the time we're finished with the projects that are being built right now, so the 2013 projects that will come into service this year, we'll have about 280 megawatts of renewables on our system, mostly solar. And most of that, nearly all of it, is investment right here in Greater Tucson. Or in the case of our other affiliates, we have UNS Electric. We've got investment up in the Kingman area.
Right.
So
right.
It's the communities we serve. And it'll actually be, by the end of this year, we will have brought in about $500 million in capital investment in our communities.
And that translates to so many things, what I call the ripple effect. It's when you talk about the online impact of the systems, and I got great notes from your team so that I know in terms of what's the applicability to me. What does that mean to my life? 500,000 tons of carbon dioxide will be avoided. And that is, I love it. People relate to this. That's like removing 93,000 cars from the road. I mean, those are things, numbers that people say translate, maybe not get a megawatt, but they'll get, you've got to be kidding me. And how do people access the renewable part of that? It's like, I know the answer, but I buy community solar blocks because I call it the guilt reduction plan. It's like some of my energy is coming from solar.
Yeah. And it works.
It works.
That's a great system. Now, how do people access it? Well, whether they know it or not, everybody who's using electricity is accessing
it. Not getting
it
to pick, right.
Because
right.
a good bit of it is just part of our energy mix. So that's one way everybody participates. But you mentioned my favorite. This is one that we worked really hard on that I'm especially pleased with, and that's, we call it Bright Tucson here, but it's the community solar concept. And the idea is we build a project at utility scale somewhere. So right. it might be at the University of Arizona Tech Park.
Right.
It might be on a wastewater treatment site that's owned by the city or the county. We usually try to find easily developable sites where we're not disturbing endangered species or building transmission lines or something. You know, we try to find a ready-made good partner as a site. And then we build the project, and people can buy blocks of energy. You don't have to make a long-term commitment. You don't have to buy something. You don't have to install something. You can pay a little bit every month, and you can do it in, I think we do it in blocks of, what, 500 kilowatt hours, I
yes.
think. So you can do 500 kilowatt hours for an average residential customer. That's roughly half your usage every month. But if you want more, you can have more. It's really up to you. And if you find yourself moving or if something bad happens, a person loses a job, you're not committed to it.
Right. It's so doable.
It's doable.
It's what the consumer wants. Make it easy for me because I really want to do the right thing. Now, you talked about the representing close to $500 million of investment. How much do you spend each year? Because there's a cost to you to help support these programs. And that's another thing that I have a lot of respect for.
Amounts up to about $30 million a year on the renewable programs, which sounds like a lot for a small company. But again, we try very hard to invest it wisely. And you know how these renewable energy standard programs work here and virtually everywhere else. Usually the utility company is under some mandate to bring us a certain number of renewable megawatts and megawatt hours into their energy mix. And then they have some kind of a surcharge on the bill. Because at today's prices, compared to the embedded cost of
a
40-year-old coal plant, it does cost more. That delta has come down, that difference has come down, and we're gratified by that. That's one of the reasons we do this. But it still costs a little more, so there's a surcharge on the bill. And that makes us stewards of other people's money. You know, we're collecting money every month, and a lot of people are hard-pressed. We know times have been tough, folks are struggling, they're out of work. So we're collecting a little bit each month from all of our customers. And what we try to do is get the most value for that we can. We're not looking for big publicity. In our industry, we have a slogan called Bragawatts. We don't want Bragawatts. What we want is a sustainable program that builds every year on itself so that as we go, at an affordable cost, we keep increasing that amount of renewable energy. And then for customers like you, or I might say me too, I'm a Bright Tucson customer, you know, we can, if we choose to, we can pay just that little bit more, lock in the renewable energy, and that too keeps expanding the program. But, you know, I think for renewable energy really to be a success, it's got to be sustainable in a business sense as well as an environmental sense. Or there'll be a backlash. If you just go do something that is a house of cards, sooner or later the house of cards will collapse. Sooner or later consumers will rebel because they, you know, I think if people think they're getting value for their money, they'll spend it. If they don't, they'll be upset.
And they talk about it. I mean, we were talking off air a little bit about such transparency. You don't have much opportunity in this day and age. There are no secrets because someone can just bring their iPhone and take a picture or everything's available online. But we are going to, I watched the time before a break, but I would love to talk now. And we come back a little bit about leadership. And you talk about Bragawatts, and I can brag a lot about you because you won a very prestigious award last year. And I think it's important to say that because I want to be a part of a community that's showing leadership nationally in what they're doing. And it was the 2012 Investor-Owned Utility of the Year.
Yep, the Solar Electric Power Association, which is the National Trade Association for those in the industry, awarded us that honor, and we were really proud and
you got
pleased.
A lot of really good press. And
a lot of really
to me,
good
anything
press.
That says good press next to it makes me really happy when you open the newspaper. And also in terms of leadership, I think one of my favorite terms is early adopters, because when did you start building that solar array up in Springerville?
Yeah, I think it was something like, what was it, 1996?
It was at least 10 years ago. So that was, everybody wasn't on the solar bandwagon that soon. So that's another leadership piece. Another part that I think is interesting, and there's far too many to articulate. You might want to pick a highlight or two, but I love public, private, and educational partnerships. It's almost a different category, because there's the public, there's the private businesses that you're doing things with, and then there's the academic part. So maybe I'm getting the word here from Mr. Green that we'll go through a break, and then we'll talk when we come back a little bit about that. And can we go into a little bit more depth about the solar zone and what's happening there?
One of my favorites.
I think, it's one of my favorites too. So you're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. We are so pleased to have in studio with us Paul Bonavia, who is the chairman and CEO of Unisource Energy, also known by many of us as Tucson Electric Power Company. And my little shout out before we go to break, don't forget to follow Mrs. Green on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, and start following my blogs. Please stay here with us. We'll be right back. Lots more good stuff to cover.
University of Arizona professor John Pollard asked the students in the Posada San Pedro Hall to consider bringing solar energy to the dorm. Just 3 years later, the Solar Cats, a group of students who took up the cause, have installed 44 solar panels on the dorm, saving 20,000 kilowatt hours of energy and reducing greenhouse gas emissions by 14 metric tons every year. Talk about students with a sunny future. The University of Arizona. Big questions, bold solutions, better tomorrows.
It's got advanced technology. It's got major breakthroughs in technology everywhere you look. It's the 2013 Honda Accord. Hi there, this is Mrs. Green, and I want to share with you that after nearly 40 years of heritage, this is the most stunning Accord ever. The highly respected automotive magazine raves that the 2013 Honda Accord offers unparalleled talent of goodness. Please visit Chapman Honda at 4646 East 22nd Street in Tucson to check it out and see for yourself.
You can always find things around the house to give to Goodwill, but I have a bigger reason to give. My brother, Jim. When Jim was just 6 weeks old, he had a stroke. He had to rewire his brain to do most things we all take for granted. Thanks to Goodwill, Jim has a job and a sense of purpose. You know how they say your donation to Goodwill changes lives? Well, it's true. Goodwill is the best thing that ever happened to Jim. Please donate today.
Go deep underwater without getting wet. Study bugs like a real scientist. Make your shadow move in colors. These are just three reasons to visit the exciting hands-on new exhibits at the Children's Museum Tucson, the region's only museum just for kids. For 25 years, we've ignited kids' imaginations at the Children's Museum Tucson. That's something to celebrate. And admission is only $2 on the first Sunday and on the 25th of each month this whole year. Children's Museum Tucson, where imagination and learning connect.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And my guest today, Paul Bonavia, who is the CEO and chairman of Unisource Energy, is giving us a lot to think about in the area of energy, every aspect of energy that makes our life tick. We talked a little bit about the solar piece in terms of renewables and the stand you take on that. And I'd like to go a little bit more. I love to talk about the leadership that TEP and Unisource really brings to the table in terms of what you're doing for renewables and your public, private, and educational programs. Your name is everywhere at a lot of places supporting wonderful things. So let's talk about the solar zone at the UA Tech Park. Like, really, I want everybody in the country to know and come visit this.
The solar zone is at least North America's largest, if not the world's most prominent solar research and technology proving ground. That's the way I think of it.
Right in our own backyard.
Right in our own backyard. And it just happened through the energy of a small group of people, and now it's become
that had this the vision.
Big institution. Again, we at Tucson Electric Power are so fortunate to have the University of Arizona right here and right part of our community, and even have the dean of the College of Science on our board.
Let's give him a shout out. Talk about a visionary entrepreneur and academician.
He is the best. And their whole team from all the pieces, AZ Rise, the organization that's...
He's a magnet for greatness. I mean, he just brings them in. He does.
He brings them in. And the university had this science and technology park, which is a wonderful concept all on its own, because it's really about economic development and it's about being an incubator for technology-based businesses and creating jobs and creating intellectual property and showing how it can really work. The marriage of that with the science faculty and with our company and the developers, the solar product manufacturers and developers, has really produced something great. It started out small, and now we have, well, you described it earlier on the bus tour. If you go visit the solar park, and I certainly hope everyone will take the opportunity to do that, they're very accessible. They're very much oriented toward making this an educational resource for the community, as well as proving and commercializing technology and producing a lot of renewable energy in the process. If you probably remember this history, but it's just about 4 years ago. Right now, I was new to Tucson Electric Power, and we had a solar forum. I'd been here just a month or so, and I thought, let's do something.
Right, right.
And the good news is, when you say something like that in Tucson, people listen and leaders come forward. And in this case, it was Congresswoman Giffords, Gabrielle Giffords, and her staff,
right.
who said, "Well, let's have a solar forum." And the mayor of Tucson at the time, Bob Walkup, jumped in and said, "Let's have a solar forum." So the three of us hosted a little community gathering in my conference room at our offices, and we invited people from the university, Bruce Wright from the Tech Park, who's a real visionary. Ardith Barnhart from AZ Rise.
Spoke to Ardith yesterday, yes.
A wonderful organization that promotes and solar energy and educates people and advocates public policy. But we invited people. We had Pima County in the city of Tucson, obviously represented, Davis-Monthan Air Force Base, Raytheon, the Tucson Airport
Organizations
Authority.
Like those that can bring about massive change. I mean, you talk about scale. What about the Research Corporation?
They were there.
Jim Gentile, another visionary. We're so blessed, even though he's leaving.
He says he won't be gone long, but he will be back.
Right.
That's what he told me.
He's going to keep a home in Tucson, so that's great.
So we had all of these people, and this was not, it certainly wasn't a photo op or a media event. It was private, and it was in real time, and we didn't really know what was going to happen. But it was now Congressman Ron Barber of Congresswoman Gifford's staff at the time who really kind of took the switchboard role in getting all these folks lined up. And in we came, and we went around the room, and people talked about what they thought was possible. And we had made a pact at the beginning that we're not going to leave without outlining some action, something we could really do.
This is not just a good meeting.
Not just a good meeting. And we had a whiteboard, and Mayor Walkup at the time, on behalf of the city, said, you know, we have this wonderful site out in Avra Valley, an area outside of Tucson, and it's owned by the city. It's actually located in Pima County. Well, we had the county administrator, Mr. Huckleberry,
right,
with us. And he said, it's a perfect site. Now, former Mayor Walkup is an engineer by training and used to work in the private sector for many years. So he's got a very practical bent. And he said, I happen to know there's transmission capacity. You don't have to build some massive transmission line project. We've got infrastructure, we've got water, we've got whatever it takes on the site, and it's owned by the city, and I'm willing to bet the city is going to be highly cooperative in making something happen. And the county administrator said, well, Pima County would like to have this. This is a good idea. We like this site. So we wrote that one down on the board. That was our highest value site. And obviously we got quickly to the tech park. That was, I think, our second site. And we said, let's see if we can really do this. I mean, really, honest to goodness, put, as they say, steel on the ground and be generating electricity. And if these aren't the right sites, we'll quickly move on and get the ones that are. But our staff from Tucson Electric Power obviously was a big part of this, and they know what the good sites are. They had already done their homework, so we were confident we were looking in the
right
place.
They really know what they're doing. I mean, they really know what they're
people.
Doing. They're good people.
I'm very proud of them. And that was 4 years ago, and I can tell you the tech park, as you know, has gone from an idea into being the world's largest technology demonstration zone for solar, for the solar industry. It's phenomenal. And all of that has happened coming out of that meeting with the energy of the university and the developers and others. And that site in Avra Valley that the mayor was so enthusiastic about actually turned into two sites. Turns out the city had two parcels out there. Gone through the zoning. Pima County approved it. We did requests for proposal. We use a competitive process to find our developers because we want the lowest cost,
right,
and the best technology. And there is a 25-megawatt site that is on the very place the mayor identified. It's now generating power. We had the grand opening a couple of months ago, and it's huge, and it's beautiful, and it works. And we found another site, and I think there's a 30-megawatt plant on that site. So we now have something north of 50 megawatts, which in electricity terms is quite a good amount of solar energy, right here in our community. Private capital financed it. Our company buys the output, so you know we're the customer for these plants. And the county did its part, the city did its part, the university supported it with very useful information as questions arose, and they're working, they're in operation, these things are done.
It's unbelievable to have that be told in such a short time, with all of the government pieces involved, which can be onerous and slow things down. But it was, you know, I wrote my newsletter last week about the power of a dream, and don't give up on the power of your dream. And this basically was. And I of course wrote Dreams Come True because I'm Mrs. Green and my dream is coming true every day. But it really, it's not pithy. It's important for people to remember that if you believe it and have the right leadership and the right visionaries at the table, all things are possible, and the planet needs things like this to happen. That's my little, you know, it's like, yeah, we really need to get on board with accelerating the process for magnificent things like this to go. I didn't know all those details, so like I'm salivating. Mrs. Green is very happy, very, very happy. Now, what about the Power Partners Project, because where that's a part of energy efficiency. It's not something that I think people know a lot about, and this is an opportunity for you to share and tell them what you can.
Yep, for our customers here in Tucson area, they are cordially invited to sign up for this Power Partners Program. It is an energy efficiency program, and I should put in a plug here for the Department of Energy. There's a Department of Energy grant, which was done with the leverage, based on the leverage of some state funding from the governor's energy office. So it's a partnership with the state of Arizona, federal government, and our company, the utility. Again, as always, supervised and overseen by the Arizona Corporation Commission. You can get on TEP.com and sign up. I think there's still space for something like 1,700 residential customers. And when you're a power partner, what it's really designed to test is the effectiveness of individual customers, one at a time, using the benefits of technology to have virtually real-time information about their energy consumption.
About how you're using energy. Yep.
And you can access it from your device, your phone, or your computer, and it will tell you things no slower than every 15 minutes. It's not quite real-time, but pretty close. And you can adjust accordingly, and plus there's a lot of education that goes with it. You get sort of a dashboard. So you've got a readout format that's user-friendly, and of course this is a pilot program, so we expect to keep improving it. We'll get feedback from the people who participate. But if you're a customer that has the interest and really wants to know more about how you as a person affect the environment, affect water use, affect emissions of every kind, you can know that as you go and make adjustments to your consumption as you go. And that's really a powerful thing. This is really, it's not some special conservation technology. It's not a magic box that saves energy. It's knowledge, and it's using the wonderful advances in smart technology so that you can, the more you know, it's a bit like we don't tell you what to think. We just ask you to do so.
We
don't tell you what to do. You can turn on your appliances, turn them off, but we supply information, and then customers can make their own choices.
And you can set your own goals and get support in meeting those goals and measure those goals. I didn't really, I think it's part of the joy that I get is spreading words about these programs and telling people that don't know. Even I was at a book club the other night, and people were talking about, there were three realtors there and talking about how people come in and want green homes. It's I think the whole green or sustainability is more present than we think about. People are interested. Customers want to do the right thing more and more. They're getting educated. There's a shortage of, you know, we don't have an unlimited supply of things, and changing technologies. It makes me really excited. So they can go to TEP.com.
There, it's right there. It should be very easy
to
find.
Very easy to do. And, you know, this is a perfect segue, and it's kind of a light conversation, but not really, because this is about energy efficiency, and I learned enough about CFLs to really be able to stand by why we change them out. All of these that you look at in our house, I didn't get it. I was worried about they're not bright enough. Will they come in any level brightness that you could conceive of? But you decided to partner with the Girl Scouts, and I love it. I mean, it really makes me smile. I never met a Girl Scout I didn't like. I'm working with two of them for things with Mrs. Green's World on plastic bags. Why did you decide to do that?
You know,
it's massive.
It's a perfect combination, and I'm not sure who the genius was that thought about it. Maybe it came from the Girl Scouts, but
could have been Debbie Rich.
Yeah, could have been, and I'm sure some of our folks were in communication with them, but it's sort of a very neat combination, because it's Girl Scout cookie season.
Right.
And what we've done is, I think it's 100,000 CFL
bulbs. It is 100,000 CFL bulbs.
So you buy Girl Scout cookies, you get a CFL bulb, and you get information with it. It's really designed, I mean, it's sort of, it's consistent with where the Girl Scouts are going, which is a lot of emphasis on education, and we fund some of that with grants, and we're really proud to do that. So it fits the evolving goals of the Girl Scouts. It fits with their Girl Scout cookie program, and it's a lot of publicity. I mean, the bulbs are great, but the knowledge and the information that goes with it
fun.
Are great. And so every girl that's selling Girl Scout cookies is also promoting energy efficiency.
A CFL. And the girls are excited about it. And see, to me, this is like going back to the program, the vast array of solar we have. It's so sustainable, we have to mention the jobs that it provides over time, forever. Well, with this, to me, as a consumer, giving me a CFL light bulb and putting that in my hand, it reduces energy. There's just no doubt about it. So if you want to save money, if you want to have an impact for the planet, change out your CFLs. I mean, it really does matter. When my reading lamps and all that, they don't get hot. I mean, it's very, very apparent once you do it, and you don't have to be worried about brightness, which I think the first iteration of CFL bulbs, it's like, I can't see. I'm getting older,
and
I can't
see.
They weren't very good. And they've improved, and you don't have to call hazmat if you break one. You dispose of it properly. You put it in a little bag, and it can go right in the garbage, and there's basically zero danger. So 100,000 CFLs went to the Girl Scouts. And then you're still doing the program. Oh, yeah, I'm not paying attention. 50% off at regular retail stores. That's another TEB thing. And maybe we can talk about that when we come back, because that's how we got all of ours. Kelly Hansen told me you can go to Lowe's or one of those stores and buy your CFLs. And we took the effort because I'm Mrs. Green. So we have to take another short break. Time flies when you're having fun. I've said that before. We are interviewing in studio Paul Bonavia, who is the CEO and chairman for Unisource, also known as TEP. Please stay here with me. More fun and more information when we come back.
Hi, I'm Abbott Taylor. With over 35 years creating jewelry in Tucson, no one has more experience in designing and making diamond jewelry in Tucson than Abbott Taylor Jewelers. Please come in and see some of the thousands of designs we have created, or come in and have us design something original just for you. Whether you're looking for a simple and stylish graduation gift, your engagement ring, or a breathtaking jewelry piece to celebrate an important birthday or anniversary, you can't beat our competitive diamond pricing. With 100% trade-up guaranteed, set in an Abbott Taylor jewelry design, always using earth-friendly recycled gold. Abbott Taylor Jewelers, exquisite jewelry designs and exceptional diamond deals created right here in Tucson for over 35 years. Abbott Taylor Jewelers at 6383 East Grant Road, on Facebook and on the web at atdiamonds.com. Diamond designs for everyone. Abbott Taylor Jewelers.
Hi there, this is Mrs. Green with some exciting news. The all-new 2013 Honda Accord is here. It's got a new level of sophistication. It's an efficiency expert, and when you drive one, you can discover how EcoAssist can help you increase your fuel efficiency. For a record 26th time, the Honda Accord has been named to Car and Driver's esteemed 10 Best list. To check them out, visit Chapman Honda at 4646 East 22nd Street. They have a great selection of 2013 Accords in stock right now.
At the University of Arizona, we're putting solar know-how to work. And it's not just our researchers. Our students are on the job as well. Our student solar racing team, using recycled solar cells from NASA, designed and built a car from scratch that gets the equivalent of over 3,000 miles per gallon. Talk about students who will go far. Really, really far. The University of Arizona. Big questions. Bold solutions. Better tomorrows.
Habitat for Humanity's Habistar is changing the world. By selling new and used building and home improvement materials to the public, the Habistar is diverting more than 250 tons from the landfill each year. To donate, call 520-889-7200. Stop by and shop today. The Habistar is located at 935 West Grant Road. Proceeds from all the sales go to Habitat for Humanity Tucson. For more information, go to habitattucson.org or call 520-889-7200.
The boys are back in town.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And we're not only thinking today, we're having fun. I am thrilled to have as my in-studio guest, Paul Bonavia, who is the chairman and CEO of Unisource Energy, also known by many of us as Tucson Electric Power Company. For our national listeners, check them out at TEP.com because you will not believe all the great things that they are doing, and other utility companies you can advocate for them following suit. You can become a little gentle nudge for utility companies and say, TEP sent me. So we've talked about the Power Partners Project and about the solar array, about the great partnership with Girl Scouts. And there's one thing I want to ask you before we run out of time. There is your building, and I think we should talk about that, because what's going on in downtown Tucson, as opposed to 4 years ago, is not to be believed on any level. The millions of dollars of capital, the build it and they will come. And also about, if we can a little bit, talk about your corporate culture, because this is a little bit lengthy, just bear with me. I went to the Raptor program the other night, and I was tired, and I didn't want to go. And I said to my husband, I said, you know, I'm just interested in this. And I drove clear across town, and I was so happy that I went. And I can explain it, because what it is if a nest is built on a utility pole, the birds could be at risk. And TEP really cares. I don't even know if you know to what great strides your team will take to protect the babies, to protect the nest, to the point of taking it down after the babies have left, building these really cool boxes and putting them back up. And that to me says a lot about a corporate culture. You don't really have to do that. And you're saving lots of hawks and little fuzzy owls and really protecting them from danger, which affects my quality of life, because everybody likes to see a hawk fly in front of them, or a little bird, a little owl. So corporate culture, because your employees buy in on that, not the paid people that are assigned to the program. They all watch for those nests. So talk about your building, that vision, and then the corporate culture at TEP.
Yeah, it's a wonderful culture, and it's fun for me to talk about it, in part because I've been here a little over 4 years, and this culture was well ingrained before I ever set foot in Tucson. So it's something I'm sort of proud to have learned about and join in on myself. But it was a healthy culture long before I got here, and thanks to a lot of visionaries and hardworking people, most of whom
they're,
you know,
excited.
Sharon Foltz.
I know Sharon Foltz.
So
she was
others.
At the Raptor presentation. Yep. She emailed me, and I'm like, oh, I'm going. I was so glad I did.
And it's fun. I love to, my own personal joke on that is, you remember the movie It's a Wonderful Life? Great
yes,
Christmas time movie with Jimmy Stewart. Remember the little business that he was part of was called the Bailey Building and Loan. And the whole idea was how much they change the community by being there.
Right.
Just
right.
Because you're here, you made it better. And in our community, we've got about 1 million people in the Tucson Valley here. But there are not a lot of companies headquartered here. I think we might be the only New York Stock Exchange listed company. And I always joke, we're the Bailey Building and Loan. Our people are involved in almost every civic, charitable endeavor, environmental groups, and they're enthusiastic. And things like the Raptor program are just great because it's a good thing to do, and they love it. People love to
they
be part of it.
They love it. There were like 8 people there, and you wanted to listen because they're so passionate about these birds. It
yep.
was really great, and a good audience.
Yep. And they're out pulling buffalo grass, and they're serving
building homes for Habitat for Humanity.
Yep, we measure at least what people tell us. You know, people do a lot of things that they don't write down or key into a computer. But, you know, we figure 50, 60, 70,000 hours a year of community time from all of us. You can't walk through that building without seeing the Goodwill collection box or the community food bank or somebody selling baked goods and cookies. There's always something going on.
That's community oriented.
Community oriented, and you know, United Way, of course. And that does sort of bring us to the building. We were a company that was spread out, and most of the people that worked for Tucson Electric Power were actually housed out at a power plant site on the edge of town, where we have, by the way, a wonderful solar demonstration array. It's worth a visit.
I have toured that to see what's in our future. That I did a long time ago.
Yeah. But otherwise, it's a power plant, and it's therefore a secure site. We can't just have people wandering through for safety and federally required security reasons. So they weren't much of a part of the community in their everyday jobs. And it wasn't exactly an elegant place. Most of the people were in some kind of modular building,
which are
glorified trailers.
Really out there.
Yeah, they were really out there. And that was meant to be temporary a dozen, 15 years ago, whenever that plan was adopted. And things, you know, one thing lead to another and time passes. And we decided, again, about 4 years ago, let's bring everybody into one place. It creates huge energy. It's great for business, our communication, our, you know, breaks down our silos. It gets people to talking to each other. We get a lot of business efficiency from it. But then the next question is, where do you do it? Well, I don't want to do it at a power plant site. We love our plant sites just fine, but that's not a place that naturally mingles with the community. So we decided to come downtown. And we've been in the building now just over a year, and it is now officially a LEED Gold certified building, the first big one in Southern Arizona. There were some pioneer projects at the zoo and the university that were much smaller.
But not on this scale.
And one of the other requirements we had was it has to have community space. So as you come in the door, you go up a little flight of stairs or you can take an elevator. There's an auditorium area that has classrooms and a big auditorium, and it's divisible into small spaces. And we actually have more community events taking place than we have days. So sometimes we have them stacked
that
up.
That filled up fast, and it's all so technologically advanced. You go, your computer can hook up. I mean, it's got it all going on. It's a modern building.
And it's got, you know, when we talked about CFL bulbs, we were really touching on a big component of energy efficiency, especially in office buildings. Lighting is a much larger portion of the energy consumption than I ever realized until I started learning more about this.
Which makes it a big budget item then.
Big budget
item. It's a cost.
And we've got all of the advanced lighting and the way the building is designed to use natural light and at the same time not overheat. This is Southern Arizona and the sun's strong. So it's the combination of the advanced window design and the way the architects have positioned the building relative to the path of the sun. Gives us a lot of efficiency. As you know, we harvest rainwater. When you come in the lobby and you're standing there, I always tell people, I hope you're suitably, you feel that sense of adventure from the fact that you are suspended over a 150,000-gallon cistern that holds
rainwater. Right
below your feet. I always tell people, if you ride the elevators, you should feel good because as you're coming down, the brakes on the elevator generate electricity. It's like regenerative brakes in a car.
And you can't push your floor, which I love.
Yeah.
You can't push your floor once you get in, so you better know where you're going. Because I stood there one day looking around saying, what do I do now?
Now what?
I'm trapped.
But it works really well. And yes, that actually saves over the course of a year a lot of energy because it has a sophisticated program and it decides where to drop people off. So there's all kinds of features to the building. We have a couple of different solar technologies at work that we're using on a test basis, but they contribute significantly. And it's a conversation piece, maybe more than anything.
It is a conversation piece and quite a challenge, I'm sure, to the architects and the designers to do what you asked of them. It was a pretty incredible mandate. We want to have this. And like you said, to design it, it's hot here. We want to use natural light, but it can't be too hot because the sun will our employees will be passing out. So
right. And it all seems to work. And by the way, the architects were Arizona Architects.
Yes.
A firm from Phoenix. But the principal in the firm is a graduate of Tucson High and a Tucson guy, and the co-architects were a Tucson firm, Swaim and Associates.
And so, they were as passionate about it as you were. I heard them talk about it at some of the grand openings. It's like they were so excited to be a part of this. And then what about the, you know, what's going on downtown? And I am not always good with accurate numbers, so I'm very careful when I say them, but I believe that when we had someone on who's been with the modern day streetcar from the beginning, she said that there is $800 million of new development money going into Tucson as we speak, has been, is planned, or is going on right now. When you go down there, there's building everywhere. TEP was one of the first. It was the anchor. And in some ways, to me, it started it. It's like, really, they're going to build that gorgeous building downtown? And now there's a lot of gorgeous buildings coming up downtown.
Yeah, that's in part coincidence. A lot of people saw the value of downtown. But, I think we were part of the leadership.
You were.
We made the decision to say, let's invest our capital in our community and give us something that we can use proudly for a long time. But in the process, we brought more than 400 professionals into downtown on top of the 100 and some we already had.
Eat breakfast, eat lunch, meet afterwards.
You bet.
Yes, it's really unbelievable.
Cultural events. We've brought a huge population into the downtown area. Plus, we have a lot of visitors. Obviously, there are meetings and people from out of town. So we bring people into the downtown community that way, and it's just worked beautifully. And, you know, it was sort of a lonesome project when we started.
We were the construction project. You were the construction project, not anymore.
And we did it countercyclically. The economy was at a slow point, which actually saved us a lot of money.
Right.
Contractors,
it was a good time
to
be hiring contractors.
Yep, they were anxious for the work. But, you know, there it is, and now I look out my window. If I walk around the building and look out the windows from every side, there are cranes everywhere.
Everywhere. I mean, it's unbelievable. And I want to tell people that are listening both nationally and locally, don't be afraid about parking. There are parking structures now downtown that are three blocks away from anywhere you want to go. It's very affordable. You can go downtown, park in one of those garages. That used to annoy me. It's like, I hate going downtown because where am I going to park?
Right.
And I would steal places like, you know, from the Cup, and just, it's a Mrs. Green car, so nobody would tow it. But just like, there is, it's very easy to park. We don't have a lot of time left, but I did want to circle back a little bit about, I'd like to know very personally and professionally about your crystal ball in terms of the state of solar for homes in this city and in this county, given the recent, you know, happenings with the Corporation Commission. I wanted to end on a happy note, but it is a very challenging relationship from where I sit. That's my opinion. Mrs. Green's world.
It's a juncture that we had to come to eventually. And, if you really believe in renewable technologies, I advocate renewables to business groups and more conservative groups by saying, let me tell you the five reasons why you want us to be a leader. But then I turn around and talk to conservation and environmental groups, and I say to them, let me give you five reasons why you have to be concerned about cost. Consumers matter. Cost matters. We're trying to do this for the long run. And we've hit the point where our Corporation Commission, which is our public policy leader in Arizona, is very concerned about cost. It means that subsidies have come down, incentives have come down. But in the long run, I don't think that's a bad thing. It's going to be painful to some people and some businesses for a period of time. But in the end, this technology is up to the job, in my own opinion. I think we can end on a high note.
What a wonderful note on which to end the show. I mean, that I wanted to hear that from you. So that's very heartening to me, because working with that commission can be somewhat daunting. And I'm happy to hear your spin on it, because it's important for all of us that solar continues. Okay, we have 30 seconds. My big, big heartfelt thanks to Paul Bonavia for taking the time out of his busy schedule to be here. Next week, a great guest. Her name is Osprey, yes, Oriel Lake, and she authors Uprisings for the Earth, Reconnecting Culture with Nature, a very practical, inciting, informative book. Stay with me next week. Make it a great green week. Thanks for being a part of Mrs. Green's World.